Hey guys, this is Vyom Joshi with Superior North. Welcome back to my channel. This week we will be talking about Chevron. We know that the oil and gas industry is suffering, and this is the prime time for us value investors to dive in and make some investments in that sector. So I will be reviewing Chevron's business model, the top five risk factors, and the contingent liabilities associated with investing in the company. It is important that we don't get too focused on the stock price, but we look at what the business is truly about. So let's dive in and look at Chevron.
Hey guys, we are on Form 10-K that Chevron filed with the SEC. This is for the fiscal year that ended in 2019. So if you're watching this with me in 2020, this is the most recent 10-K annual report that we have on hand for Chevron. So let's dive in and look at the business model. Under item one, business, we have the summary description of Chevron. Chevron Corporation manages its investments in subsidiaries and affiliates and provides administrative, financial, management, and technology support to U.S. and international subsidiaries that engage in integrated energy and chemicals operations. After that, Chevron talks about the two segments that they operate in, their upstream and downstream business. The upstream operation consists primarily of exploring for developing and producing crude oil and natural gas, processing, liquefaction, transportation, and regasifications associated with liquefied natural gas, transporting crude oil by major international oil export pipelines, transportation, storage, and marketing of natural gas and gas to liquid plants. So the upstream business is everything to do with crude oil before it is refined. The transportation, the pipelines, the extraction, everything before product is refined is considered upstream operations. For the downstream operations, Chevron says, downstream operations consist primarily of refining crude oil into petroleum products, marketing of crude oil and refined products, transporting crude oil and refined products by pipeline, marine vessels, motor equipment, and rail car, and manufacturing and marketing of commodity petrochemicals, plastics for industrial uses, and fuel and lubricant additives. So the higher level picture that Chevron gave us is that it is an integrated energy and chemical company with upstream and downstream segments. The upstream segment consists primarily of all the crude oil development and extraction before the product is refined. And the refining process and everything after that is considered in the downstream segment. Chevron then gives us an overview of the petroleum industry. Chevron says the petroleum industry operations and profitability are influenced by many factors, specifically the price, which is governed by supply and demand. On the supply side of things, we have three key players, the OPEC, Russia, and the United States, who determine the worldwide supply. And as far as the demand goes, it is largely governed by local, national, and global economies, along with weather patterns and taxation. Chevron also says that laws and government policies, particularly in the areas of taxation, energy, and environment, play a key role in determining their profits. After that, Chevron talks about how it faces strong competition in both its upstream and downstream segments. In its upstream segment, Chevron competes with fully integrated major global petroleum companies as well as independent and national petroleum companies. And for its downstream segment, it competes with fully integrated major petroleum companies as well as independent refining and marketing, transportation, and chemical entities and national petroleum companies. So for the overview of the petroleum industry, we get an idea of how prices are governed by the supply and demand. On the supply side of things, we have three key players, OPEC, Russia, and United States. On the demand side of things, it's governed by the local, national, and global economies. And Chevron points out that there's strong competition in the industry. Next, Chevron talks about its strategic direction. Chevron says that its primary objective is to deliver industry-leading results and superior shareholder value in any business environment. In its upstream segment, Chevron's strategy is to deliver industry-leading returns while developing high-value resource opportunities. And its downstream segment, the company's strategy is to grow earnings across the value chain and make targeted investments to lead the industry in returns. Chevron also points out that it is focused on lowering carbon intensity cost efficiently, increasing the use of renewables in its business, and investing in future breakthrough technologies. So what Chevron is telling us is that its goal, its strategy, is to create value all across the board and pursue investments that lead the industry in returns while paying attention to the future of increasing use of renewables and emerging technologies in the energy sector. So let's wrap up this business overview segment. We got to see that Chevron operates in a competitive environment. It has two major operating segments, the upstream segment and the downstream segment. It also has this other business segment, which focuses on new and emerging technologies in the energy sector and also the environmental regulations associated with its business. So that is all I had for the business overview and business segments. Now let's dive in and look at the top five risk factors for Chevron. Hey guys, let's look at Chevron's risk factors. There were a total of 11 risk factors listed in its 10K, and today we will be going over the top five. The first one on the list is that Chevron is exposed to the effects of changing commodity prices. This is especially important in 2020 when there is a decreased global demand in crude oil, and the depressed crude oil prices certainly does not help Chevron's case. Furthermore, Chevron says that extended periods of low prices of crude oil can have a material adverse impact on the company's results of operations, financial conditions, and liquidity. Chevron says the company's upstream earnings, cash flows, and capital and exploratory expenditure programs could be negatively affected. Upstream assets may also become impaired. The downstream earnings can be negatively affected because they depend on the supply and demand of refined products and the associated margins on refined product sales. A significant and sustained decline in liquidity could adversely affect the company's credit rating, potentially increase financing costs, and reduce the access to capital markets. So this risk factor is particularly important in 2020 when we're seeing a decline in the global demand for crude oil, and the prices for the crude oil are not at the level where Chevron is making billions of dollars in profits. These oil and gas companies are barely squeezing by, and as Chevron lays out here, the risks associated with low crude oil prices. The second risk factor is that Chevron's operations have inherent risks and hazards that require significant and continuous oversight. So we have to understand that this is not the tech sector where the working environment is inherently safe. In the oil and gas sector especially, it is important to focus on safety. As Chevron states here, failure to manage these risks effectively could impair our ability to operate and result in unexpected incidents, including releases, explosions, or mechanical failures, resulting in personal injury, loss of life, environmental damage, loss of revenues, legal liabilities, and/or disruptions to operations. The third risk factor is that Chevron does not insure against all potential losses, which could result in significant financial exposure. Chevron does not have commercial insurance or third-party indemnities to fully cover all operational risks or potential liabilities in the event of a significant incident or series of incidents causing catastrophic loss. This risk factor, just like the first one, is particularly important in 2020 when all the oil and gas companies, Chevron included, are in a liquidity crunch. And if Chevron were to face a potential loss, such a loss would certainly magnify Chevron's liquidity needs. The fourth risk factor states that regulation of greenhouse gas, GHG, emissions has increased and could continue to increase Chevron's operational cost and reduce demand for Chevron's hydrocarbon and other products. Over here, Chevron talks about the international agreements and national, regional, and state legislation and regulations, the laws that they have to follow and be governed by. And the last paragraph sums up this greenhouse gas emissions risk factor. In this last paragraph, Chevron states that the measures to limit the greenhouse gas emissions depend on a number of factors. Such factors include the sectors covered, the greenhouse gas emission reduction required, the extent to which Chevron could be entitled to receive emission allowance allocation, or would need to purchase compliance instruments on the open market or through auctions, the price and availability of emission allowances and credits, and the extent to which the company is able to recover the costs incurred through the pricing of the company's products in the competitive marketplace. Chevron says that its financial performance is highly uncertain because the company is unable to predict with certainty, for a multitude of individual jurisdictions, the outcome of political decision-making processes, and the variables and trade-offs that inevitably occur in connection with such processes. So what Chevron is saying is that it has to meet all these greenhouse gas requirements, and it does not know how costly it would be and how much Chevron's bottom line would be affected because of these additional costs. The last risk factor, Chevron says that increasing attention to environmental, social, and governance, ESG, matters may impact our business. Chevron says that increasing social expectations on companies to address climate change and potential consumer and customer use of substitutes to Chevron's products may result in increased costs, reduced demand for our products, reduce profits, increase investigations and litigations, and negatively impact our stock price and access to capital markets. Chevron says that such ESG ratings are used by some investors to inform their investment and voting decisions, and such unfavorable ESG ratings could negatively impact our stock price and our access to and cost of capital. So what Chevron is saying is that these ESG matters are costly, yet they're important, because if they don't pay attention to them, then the demand for their product could decrease, which would hurt the business. So those were the top five risk factors. Now let's look at the contingent liabilities associated with investing in Chevron. Hey guys, let's look at the contingent liabilities for Chevron. The first contingent liability is income taxes. Chevron calculates its income tax expense and liabilities quarterly, and it states that these liabilities are not finalized with the individual taxing authorities until several years after the end of annual period for which income taxes have been calculated. So what Chevron is saying is that certain tax authorities could come back to Chevron a few years down the line and say, hey, Chevron, you owe us a few extra $1 million more in taxes. And at that point, Chevron would have to pay up from the current year's finances. However, Chevron does say that the settlements of open tax years are not expected to have a material effect on the consolidated financial position or liquidity of the company. The second contingent liability covers guarantees, where Chevron says that it has two guarantees to equity affiliates totaling $704 million. Also, all the numbers here are in millions of dollars, as it says right here. Chevron says that of the $704 million figure, $412 million is associated with a financing arrangement with an equity affiliate, and the remaining $292 million is associated with certain payments under a terminal use agreement entered into by an equity affiliate. Chevron says that for this $412 million, approximately 2 years are remaining for that guarantee. And for this $292 million, approximately 8 years remain till the end of the term of the guarantee. Chevron says that it has recorded no liabilities for either of these guarantees. However, important thing to note is that it is technically on the hook for about $700 million. The third contingent liability is about indemnification, where Chevron assumes certain indemnities relating to contingent environmental liabilities associated with assets that were sold back in 1997. The acquirer of those assets shared in certain environmental remediation costs up to a maximum obligation of $200 million, which had been reached at December 31st, 2009. Chevron says that under the indemnification agreement, after reaching the $200 million obligation, Chevron is solely responsible until April 2022, when the indemnification expires. So for the past 11 years, Chevron has been paying these environmental remediation costs, and it still has two more years until April 2022 to pay additional environmental remediation costs if they do rack up. It is important to note that Chevron says that the amount of additional future costs may be material to results of operations in the period in which they are recognized. The next contingent liability is about long-term unconditional purchase obligations and commitments, including throughputs and take-or-pay agreements. Over here, Chevron states that the agreements typically provide goods and services, such as pipelines and storage capacities, utilities, and petroleum products, to be used or sold in the ordinary course of the company's business. Chevron then provides us the cost of these commitments for each year. And if we sum these up, we get about $12.7 billion. So this obligation of $12.7 billion does not vary with its operational results. Regardless how Chevron is doing operationally, if it's making money or not, it does not matter. It is required to meet these commitments. The next contingent liability is environmental, where Chevron is subject to contingencies pursuant to law, regulations, private claims, and legal proceedings related to environmental matters. Chevron's environmental reserve as of December 31st, 2019 was $1.234 billion. Out of that amount, $266 million related to remediation activities, $667 million is related to company's U.S. downstream operations, $28 million to the international downstream operations, $272 million to upstream operations, and $1 million to other businesses. Next is the other contingencies section, where Chevron talks about how governmental and other entities in California and other jurisdictions have filed legal proceedings against fossil fuel producing companies, including Chevron, purporting to seek legal and equitable relief to address alleged impacts of climate change. In the next paragraph, Chevron talks about how the operating environment in Venezuela has been deteriorating for some time. And in January of 2019, the U.S. government imposed sanctions on Venezuela. Chevron talks about how the carrying value of the company's investment was approximately $2.65 billion, and the company recognized a loss of $54 million in regards to the company's operations in Venezuela. Chevron points out that future events could result in environment in Venezuela becoming more challenged, which could lead to increased business disruption and the volatility in the associated financial results. And those were all the contingent liabilities covered by Chevron in its 10K.
Hey guys, that is all I had for you this week. We looked at Chevron's business model, the top five risk factors, and the contingent liabilities associated with investing in this company. Hopefully you found this video helpful. Please do like, share, and subscribe to my channel. Thank you.